From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carol Castle. And once again, here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks so much. There are a lot of different kinds of pastimes and games, so there's some debate over what actually is a sport and what isn't. Here's my definition. A sport is anything I am scared to attempt.
Which is why we're including our interview with tightrope walker Nick Walenda in June of this year, just a few weeks before he made his attempt to walk across the Grand Canyon on a wire.
Along with the panelists Tom Baudette, Roxanne Roberts, and PJ O'Rourke, plus Bill Curtis, I wondered how he ever got into this strange line of work. Turns out, he was born into it.
That's correct. Actually, my family started performing back in the 1780s, so over 200 years now we've been performing, and I'm now the seventh generation carrying on that illustrious industry.
Right, yeah, of circus work.
Wearing spangles.
Well, you don't. Actually, I noticed this, that at least in the recent videos of you I've seen, including your great Niagara Falls walk, the first man ever to walk across the whole falls on a tightrope, right?
That's correct.
Right. You didn't wear a spangly suit.
I don't. Actually, I the last time I wore a spangly suit, I think I was 12 years old.
Right.
I wear jeans and a T-shirt for most of my events.
12 is a painful age for spangles.
Trust me.
So getting back to your growing up, I've read your memoir, and one of the things you talk about is growing up, how incredibly difficult it is and was to make your living in the circus. And you had to work hard. You, like, bus tables in a restaurant for years to support
yourself? That's right. I did a little bit of everything. Bussing tables, waited tables, you know, everything you could imagine.
Could you hold a lot of trays and plates?
Like? Oh, absolutely.
Now, you did this stunt. You're the first person ever to do it. You walked across Niagara Falls on live TV, and you have a tether on holding you to the wire. And we were told that you really didn't want to do that.
I didn't. You know, for generations, it's been passed on to our family that a safety device, a net, a tether, is a false sense of security. One of my great-grandfather's older brothers actually fell into a net and bounced out, and because of that, he was adamantly against them. And his thought process was, and what he's passed on, is that if you have a safety device, your mindset is you're at ease, and your thought is it's okay, we can use it.
Right.
And to answer that question, my network partner came in 2 weeks prior to that event, about 2.5 weeks prior, and said, we're not going to air this unless you wear a tether. It was a surprise to all of us. We really don't know why it came on. And I had to wear a tether, which was extremely nerve-wracking because I'd never worn one up until then. And I was more nervous that it was going to get caught on something as I was walking and that it was going to cause me to fall.
Right, because that would be scary. Now,
it would be.
What's interesting to me is you're not working in circuses. You're doing stuff in buildings and across Niagara Falls and pretty soon across the Grand Canyon. So what are the dangers? I mean, do you worry about a bird flying up and getting in your face? What's the weirdest thing that's happened?
You know, I have had birds land on my balancing pole. I have been stung by a bee while performing. All of that really comes down to training and preparation. Actually, when I was younger, my parents, as I was training, would sneak up behind me and shake the wire. Of course, I was down low. But just so that they knew, they'd throw a pine cone at me. So I was distracted so that they knew that I would have enough focus to be able to stay on the wire no matter what would come at me.
So your parents' parenting skills were they'd put you up on a high wire and they'd stand there and throw pine cones at you. So tell us about, I'm really curious about this. You're going to cross the Grand Canyon. Live, we hope. And
yes.
you're going to...
So it'll start out live, I guarantee you that much.
All right. You will be live at one end, and this is, how far across is it?
It's approximately 1,400 feet across and about 1,500 feet high. It's actually higher than the Willis Tower.
We used to call the Sears Tower here in Chicago. So that's pretty high, and you're going to be out there, and this time apparently you're not going to have a tether and certainly not a net.
That's correct.
And you have not lined the Grand Canyon with pillows or anything like that.
Not yet. I'm working on that sponsor.
What is your pre-walk ritual?
It isn't anything you would expect. I'm not superstitious at all. I give my wife and kids a hug and a kiss and say see you in a few minutes, just like I do when I go out to get groceries at night.
I don't want to know how you get to the grocery store. But really, you just say, okay, time to do the stunt.
That's right. Yeah, there's nothing exciting.
Way to sell it, Nick.
Yeah. Okay, Nick Melinda, we have invited you here to play a game we're calling...
Whoops.
Not one you often want to use in my line of
business. No. Last thing you want to hear somebody like you say. Your job requires precision, grace, care. Other people's jobs, not so much. We've got some examples of extreme clumsiness, stupidity, or both, taken from an annual compilation of unusual workers' comp claims put together by lawyer Thomas Robinson. Answer two questions about these dumb moves correctly. You'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice on their home voicemail. So, Bill, who is aerialist Nick Walenda playing for?
Kathy Lawler of Cary, North Carolina.
All right. Ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right. Here is your first question. In 2012, a woman tried to sue for an injury she sustained at her job teaching at a high school when what happened? A, she got lead poisoning from constantly chewing her pencils, nervous habit. B, she had traumatic stress from, quote, seeing how those kids dress these days. Or C, she turned and ran straight into a concrete wall when a coworker showed her a snake.
I'm going to say B.
You're going to say B, she had traumatic stress from, quote, seeing how those kids dress these days?
That's my guess.
Yeah, you have teenage kids, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, no, actually it was C, the one with the wall and the snake. What happened was is that the snake was confiscated from a student, and the assistant principal stopped by this woman's schoolroom and said, hey, look at this. And she went, ah! And immediately ran into the wall. Her claims of injuries and post-traumatic stress from the incident were denied. However, even though that happened, a North Carolina office manager did get compensated for an injury she sustained when she did what? A, doing a classic facepalm gesture while holding a cream pie. Sploosh. B, trying to ride down the escalator rail after a big employee dinner. Or C, doing a trust fall with people it turns out she should not have trusted.
I'm going to say B.
Trying to ride down the escalator. You're right. It was a big dinner at one of these conferences. She had a lot to drink. And she, guess, decided to make like a Walenda. She thought it'd be fun to slide down the escalator rail. It wasn't. She fell, hurt herself, but she got compensated. All right. Last question. If you get this right, you'll have made it to the other side successfully. In 2009, a young worker in Illinois received compensation for an injury he suffered, and what the court referred to as an act of chivalry. What did he do? A, he chased down a coworker who he thought had stolen his office mate's salad dressing. B, he was trying to dislodge a bag of Fritos from a vending machine with a, quote, shoulder block. Or C, he was leaning out the window to release a spider the receptionist refused to let him squish.
I'm going to say B.
You're going to say B, he was trying to dislodge the bag of Fritos from the vending machine?
That's my guess.
You're right! That's what he was doing. You know how it is. The coworker, had put the money in to get the Fritos. They were hanging there in the little spiral, and he's like, "I'll take care of it." And he gives it a shoulder block, and he manages to fracture his own hip. No word on whether the coworker got the Fritos. Bill, how did Nick Walenda do in our quiz?
He got 2 out of 3. That's a percentage that does not work in Nick's line of work.
But he did win, though, didn't he?
He won. Yes, everybody wins on the show.
You're
2 out of 3.
Nick Walenda is the author of the new book, Balance, A Story of Faith, Family, and Life in the Line. Nick Walenda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Nick.